Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Get behind me, Satan. I wonder what it must have been like to have been Peter, to have just heard the wonderful proclamation that Jesus gave him after having recognized him to be the Lord, Son of God, the Messiah. And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Wow, and to have been given the keys of the kingdom too. And then, Jesus says that it's important, it's going to happen. It's going to be that he is going to get killed. He's going to have to be brought before the priests, the elders of the people, the teachers of the people, and he's going to be killed. And Peter, obviously thinking, this is horrible and it sounds terrible, Peter goes, no. And he pulls Jesus aside and he says, that's never going to happen to you. And to have just heard that you're the rock upon which the church is going to be built and the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against it, then to suddenly hear Jesus, your master, call you Satan. Get behind me, Satan. That must have been a mind-blowing experience. I want you to try to get your mind around it today. The gates of hell aren't going to prevail against the church, and the church is going to be built on you, Peter. I'm naming you Rocky, and I'm going to build a church on you. And the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against it. I mean, that must have made Peter feel pretty good. Oh, I'm just a fisherman. No education to speak of. Smelly. He's going to build a church on me. And hell won't prevail against it. I'm sure he felt really good. Then suddenly to be brought to the stunning realization that even though he was right in recognizing who Jesus was, and even though he was right and was identified by Jesus as being the rock upon whom the church would be built and the gates of hell won't prevail against it, and he would receive the keys of the kingdom and all this wonderful good news that Jesus gave him, even though that happened, he could still fumble the football. He made a touchdown, and then he fumbled the football the next play. Oh, the pain and agony of it all. Peter. I love Peter. Peter is so much like me. Always quick to speak. Always sometimes neglecting to think. Open mouth and first thought comes right out. He hears Jesus say something he doesn't like and he rebukes him. Jesus turns around and rebukes him back. Get behind me, Satan. How are we like Peter, my friends? How are we like the fishermen? And what are we going to do about it? Those are our questions today. Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day, so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' holy name we pray. And let the people of God say, Amen. Get a bunch of preachers together, and we love to tell jokes. Most of them you can't tell from the pulpit, but this one you can, I hope. Three preachers have gotten together to have lunch and to talk about their problems, and they decided they need to support each other and support each other with their prayers and support each other with their presence and support each other with their guidance and observations and advice. And so they've met together to share with each other. And the first preacher says, "My brothers, I need your help and I need your prayers. My brothers, I find that my eyes keep wandering every Sunday, and I find the women in my church very attractive. I need your help, my brothers, to get me through this. I need your help, my brothers, to be faithful to my wife. I need your help, my brothers. Pray for me. Please pray for me. Because I just want to go out and meet all these women I see in my church and hug them and kiss them and talk to them and neglect my wife. Please pray for me in my desire to go out after other women." And the other two say, "Okay, brother, we'll pray for you about that. We will pray for you about that." The second preacher says, Oh, my brothers, I need your prayers. I love liquor. I love to drink it. I love to drink it in the morning. I love to drink it in the afternoon. I love to drink it in the evening. I keep a bottle of it in the pulpit. I love to drink so much." This happens to be water, friends, by the way. "I love alcohol. My brothers, please help me to get through this. Help me to get through this. Pray for me. Counsel me. Advise me. Tell me what to do to get through this difficult time in my life and in my ministry. Help me to get off of alcohol. Help me to get dry again. To get sober again." So the other two say, "Yes, my brother, we'll pray for you. We'll help you. We'll counsel you. We'll help you get through this difficult time in your ministry." And then the first two who already given their sins now turn to the third. Say, "Brother, what's on your heart and mind?" And he thinks for a while and says, "I don't think I should really share what's burdening me today." And the first two say, "Well, why? We share with you our innermost secret, our sin that is so painful to us, and we're helping and helping each other, and we're hoping that we can help you now with the sin that's troubling you so greatly. What can we do to help you, brother?" And he says, "Well, I'm a gossip." Boomerang. She got it. My friends, we laugh at that story. We laugh at it because we recognize the power of the mouth, the power of the tongue, the power, the evil, malicious power that an unbridled mouth can give you and can be, and the destructive power that an uncontrolled mouth can have. Last Sunday, I preached on the necessity of forgiveness and how we have been forgiven so much, like that first slave who had been forgiven a humongous debt, a debt that would take over 100,000 years to repay for a normal laborer. A humongous debt he had been forgiven. And he goes out and he grabs the other servant and he strangles him and says, "Pay me what you owe me," even though he only owed him 100 days worth of labor. And the second slave says, "Please give me time and I'll repay you." And he says, "No," and he has him thrown into prison until he repay the debt. And then the master calls in the first slave and says, "You wicked slave, I forgave you so much. Could you not you forgive so little?" We are in that position, friends, of being unwilling to forgive, even when we have been forgiven so much. And that applies specifically to today. The difficulty of forgiving, even when the pain has been great. We are called, friends, to forgive. We are called, friends, to forgive even when the things that have been said about us and to others about us behind our backs can be great. Regardless of what it is, we are called to forgive. we have here today, Peter. Peter speaking his mind, being open and honest about what he heard, and he didn't like what he heard, and so he did what came naturally to Peter and to you and to me. He opened his mouth and he spoke his mind and didn't give a single thought as to the damage it would do. He had just proclaimed Jesus the Messiah and then turns around and rebukes the one whom he had proclaimed. Far be it from you, Lord, that this would ever happen to you. I'm not going to let it happen, Jesus. Jesus looked in and recognized who was speaking. When we proclaim Jesus as Lord, we are proclaiming it through the power of God's grace working in within us. But when we hurt, when we stab, when we wound a brother or sister in Christ, we are Satan speaking instead. Jesus looked at Peter and saw Satan speaking, and so he addressed him. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. My friends, when we speak words that are thoughtless, when we speak words that just pop into our heads, harsh words, critical words, angry words, painful words, hurting words, stabbing words, when we speak words that pop into our heads, we are not speaking by the grace of God, but by the influence and power of the evil one. When we hurt one another, when we fail to forgive one another, we are hurting and not accepting Jesus Christ. When we act like Peter and rebuke our brother and our sister in Christ, we are, in effect, rebuking, hurting, stabbing Jesus. When we badmouth, when we gossip about, when we make their business our business, we are hurting, gossiping about, and meddling with Jesus. And we are acting as Satan would have us act. Awful quiet in here today. Awful quiet because, my friends, it's true. We frequently act like Peter. I accuse myself first off. We frequently act like Peter. And with one moment, proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's wonderful, good, and Christ recognizes it. And in the next moment, turning around and growling at our brother or sister in Christ. And in so doing, we act as a stumbling block. And we are growling at a part of the body of Jesus, a brother or a sister in Christ sitting in our midst. What do we do about it? It's a very simple proposal. A proposal so amazing that, quite frankly, it doesn't seem obvious at first until you hear it. What do you do about it when you open your mouth and the first evil thought that pops into your brain comes out of your mouth and you see it flying away towards the person you spoke it to? What do? You ask for forgiveness. And what do when someone has beaten you up one side and down the other with words and gossip and hurtful words and growling? What do? You forgive. We have been forgiven so much. So much by Jesus. When he stretched out his arms on the hardwood of the cross and died for our sins, we have been forgiven so much. How could we not forgive another who owes us so very little? When we fumble the football, as Peter did, we're called to ask for forgiveness. And we, when it is fumbled against us, are called to forgive. Being part of the family of God, that's what we are called to do. And our Father calls us to this forgiveness. And our Father calls us to seek forgiveness. Today, when you come to the table of the Lord, and when you receive a bit of bread and a bit of juice, I invite you to turn over to God any of the pain, the hurt, the anger, the fear that you may feel towards another. Matters not if they're here. They could be on the other side of the planet for all it matters. They could already be in glory with God in heaven. It matters not. Turn over to God at the table of the Lord. That hurt and that pain which you feel. And likewise, if you have said something or done something to hurt another, I invite you today as you eat and you drink to receive the grace that you need to turn around and ask for forgiveness. My brothers, when you come, my sisters, when you come, my friends, when you come, receive the grace either to forgive or receive the grace that you need to ask for forgiveness. I've got to do both today. I've got to receive the grace that I need to both ask for forgiveness from a brother and turn around and forgive a sister. I must do both today too. We here in the family of God are called to be forgiving and to ask for forgiveness. The Master above has forgiven us so much. He died on the cross for our sins and forgave us everything that we have done. We must now turn and forgive others as we have been forgiven. And we must ask for forgiveness too. It's not easy, friends, to overcome the hoof and mouth syndrome. It's not easy to overcome that pernicious power of Satan that comes to dwell within us when we open our mouth and want to stick our foot right in it, down to the heel, and suck on them toes. But we can. Through the grace of Jesus Christ, which we receive through the many means of grace today, through the singing, through the scriptures, through the praying, through the communion, through the fellowship together, we have here with us today the grace that we need to overcome, to move through by faith the hoof and mouth syndrome, and to live as the children whom God has called us to be, a forgiven and forgiving people. My brothers and sisters, come to the table of the Lord to receive the grace you need to ask for forgiveness, and to give forgiveness. Come to the table of the Lord and receive God's grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.